Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening. Welcome to The Watchman. And we continue with our study from last week when we were trying to examine evidence to see the question, to look at the question that we asked, we posed that time: is Pope Francis the last Pope, and is he the false prophet? Now, this is precisely what we are going to be talking about here today. And just to remind you, continue being interactive on the fora that we've provided. You can send an email to this ministry at ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page. The way to get there, go straight, start a new tab, and go straight to www.facebook.com/UgandanWatchman. Don't try to search for it through Google or any other way. Just go to facebook.com/UgandanWatchman, and you will sure get to that page. And we discuss some things there. And I actually, every once in a while, answer a few questions there, and so on. So, yesterday, we looked at the evidence. Two parts of the evidence. I have seven of them, so I'm going to complete the five today, and we see if we are dealing with the person who is the false prophet. First of all, the prophecy of Saint Malachi says that the 112th Pope, who is Pope Francis today, is going to be the last Pope and is going to be the devil incarnate. That is according to that prophecy, and as well as so many other prophecies, including a prophecy of some guy called Ignatius Loyola. That's the one who started the Jesuit order of Saint Francis of Assisi, after whom the Pope named himself. So that, then we saw the lightnings at the Vatican. I talked about the swans, the black crows and the seagulls going and eating the white doves, and in an extraordinary thing, because it doesn't happen before. I mean, and of course people just talk, and you know, I was seeing a nature guy saying there's nothing unusual about it. Of course, if you go science, they can't say anything, there's nothing unusual and what. But then, you know, somehow God sends his warnings one way or the other. So we discussed those two things. Then the Pope being the first Jesuit Pope, and I told you what oath those people take to become Jesuits. It is not an easy Pope. They have to infiltrate every faith, every religion, to go and bring it down from within. And I'm going to show you how they are doing that, even to the evangelicals right now. Amazing stuff is happening in the world right now. But before that, I'll go to the third part of our evidence, which is other secret societies. Now, several books have been published over the years claiming that there is a Masonic infiltration into the Vatican and a plot to take over the Catholic Church that apparently started as many as 150 years ago. Masonic meaning the Freemasons, who are, well, in a nutshell, deep devil worshippers. Probably the most prominent and authoritative writer on this subject is a man called Malachi Martin, who was an advisor to the papacy until the late 1960s, actually. He asserted in a book which he published in 1985 that Freemasons were on the verge of a complete takeover of Rome, of the Vatican. If that was so, and if he said that actually nearly 30 years ago, could that plot have been completed? Is Pope Francis a Freemason? Now, I can't say that for sure, but I know the Masonic handshake, okay? I know the way Freemasons do their handshake. It's very different from the way other people do their handshake. And I will tell you for sure that I have seen him do that Masonic handshake with several people, including the Queen of England, including Tony Blair and Barack Obama, all of whom are Freemasons. So I have seen the Pope do that Masonic handshake. So I can't say for sure that he's a Freemason, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was. Actually, I think he is, because you can't. These are people who are non Freemasons, and they are doing that Masonic handshake, and there is a way they. I mean, it's all over the new, even some newspaper put it out. Not just this Pope, even Benedict. There was a newspaper picture which I saw Benedict doing that Freemason handshake with Tony Blair at the time. So if he did it if Benedict was a Freemason, then you can guarantee me that the Masonic takeover of Vatican was completed then. So but that's a small thing. Now let's go to his doctrine, the doctrine of the Pope. What does Pope Francis actually believe? Taking it from his creed, from his words and from the things he has said and from the things he has refused to say. But the mistake people make is when they believe that the Roman Catholic Church at its top believes in the Bible, because they don't. I don't think there has ever been a time in their 1,700 year history of the church that they have actually been complete Bible believing church. They have never been, because they always, they doctor things, they come up with doctrines which are not, you know, biblical, as we discussed earlier on. Now, Pope Benedict, the one who is secluded somewhere in hiding, a man whom the secular world abhorred because he was considered too religious for them, wrote a book called Credo for Today, What Christians Believe. It was published in 2009. In the book, he stated clearly and unequivocally that a belief in creationism contradicts the idea of evolution and is untenable today. So what is he saying? He's saying that it's no longer possible for anybody to believe that God created the world. It's not tenable today. That was for a long time ago. Belief in God creating the world contradicts with evolution and therefore is untenable. In others, is unsustainable today. In others, cannot be true today. That is the Pope. So where does that leave the Bible? In the dustbin, I guess. Because the Bible asserts that God created the world. And the Pope is saying God did not create the world. That belief is no longer possible today. So now the trouble is that when there are genuine Catholics who believe in God and who are seeking God, who get so attached to a system which at the top does not believe in the Bible. They don't even believe in God, the God that you believe in. And it's very clear. That's why the Bible says, come out of them, my people. God is looking at the individual person, not the collectiveness. He's not coming for a system, you know, a system of cardinals, what, you know, bishops, what. God is totally disinterested in that. He's coming for persons, for people who in their hearts believe in him and in their hearts seek out for him. That's what God is coming out for. So that's why he says in his word that, come out of them, my people. Come out of them. Come out of Babylon. Because that's the Babylonian system. That's the whore committing abominations of harlotry. Okay? Come out of them. Because here is a Pope writing what Christians believe, and he's saying Christians don't believe in creationism. I mean, what kind of Christians are those? I'm a Christian. And as far as I'm concerned, evolution is absolute rubbish. I've studied it, by the way. I've studied it. It does not make sense even to the people who teach it in schools. It cannot make sense. Okay? Now, they make it look like creation, Genesis 1:1, is so stupid. But, and then they are joined by the Pope. Anyway, so what Christians believe, according to Pope Benedict, who is now somewhere in seclusion, is that creationism cannot exist today. Well, good for him. But let's leave Pope Benedict. Let's move to Pope Francis, who is the subject of our discussion today. Because he has taken this disbelief to another level. Remember, the Bible says, and I told you last time, that the second beast, who is the false prophet, looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Remember that. Looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. In an interview with a man called Antonio Spadaro, who is an Italian Jesuit and the editor of a magazine called La Carovita Cattolica, basically a Catholic mouthpiece, really, Pope Francis stated, as boldly as any pope could do, that the church, like any human institution, must be open to changing its mind. Human self-understanding changes with time, the Pope said. Let us think of when slavery was accepted, or the death penalty was allowed without any problem. He added that other sciences and their development help the church in its growth in understanding. And what was he alluding to? He was building this all up to his discourse on homosexuals. In the same way, he's saying, remember the time when slavery was accepted. Now he's saying the church has to change, and you know, change with the time. Okay? Now, when they asked him about homosexuality, he says the problem is not, I'm quoting, the problem is not that one has this tendency of homosexuality. No, we must be brothers. This is the first matter. Then when he was in Brazil, he was asked about journalists on the subject still of homosexuality. And he said, who am I to judge a gay person of goodwill who seeks the Lord? You can't marginalize these people. Now, man, that made him an instant celebrity. oh, finally the Pope accepts homosexuality. Wow, the whole world was going bonkers. I mean, people were foaming at their mouth over the, you know, prospect of a Pope who, you know, finally says homosexuals, oh, that's perfect, it's absolutely okay. Then they made it, so he became a media celebrity because of that. The Advocate magazine, which is a bi-monthly homosexual publication in America, named Pope Francis as their man of the year, just because of saying that. So the Pope is a man of the year in a homosexual magazine. How good, how cool is that? How cool is that? And to give you some context, Benedict, by the way, described homosexuality as an intrinsic disorder, which is closer to the truth, of course. But this Pope says, no, 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 these are okay, it's all fine. So, man of the year in a magazine, in a homosexual magazine. So when he was asked in the same trip to Brazil about atheists, this is what the Pope said. Atheists, people who don't believe in God, who don't believe God exists. This is what the Pope said. The Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ. All of us, not just Catholics, even the atheists, everyone. And this blood makes us children of God of the first class. We are created children in the likeness of God, and the blood of Christ has redeemed us all. Then someone in the congregation shouted, but I don't believe, Father, I am an atheist. Then the Pope replied, just be a good person, and we will meet one another there in heaven. Oh my God, oh my God. I'm sure they will meet somewhere, but I guarantee you it will not be in heaven. Because either the Pope is lying or Jesus is lying. What did Jesus say? He who believes, John 3:18, which comes of course after John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes is not condemned. But John 3:18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So either Jesus is lying or the Pope is lying. Make your choice. I am sure he will meet somewhere with atheists, but it will not be in heaven. I can guarantee you that. I have the basis of the word of Jesus Christ. It will not be in heaven. Because, I mean, it's very clear. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, there is no... If you are Muslim, it is hell. And you, there is no way I can compromise on that. Because Jesus said it. Okay? I mean, this, whatever, be a good Muslim, hell. You either believe in the Jesus Christ or you go to hell. There is no two ways about it. There is no two ways about it. So this whole thing of there are many roads leading to one destination, you can pass Buddhism, you can pass atheism, you can pass, you know, whatever, even Judaism, or you, there is only one way according to the Bible, and that way is Jesus Christ. All the other ways lead to hell. And but when the Pope said, no, 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 you don't have to believe in God. You just, you know, be a good person. Even if you don't believe in God, we'll meet in heaven. Oh my God, now those comments made the liberal American media just fall in love with Pope Francis. I mean, they couldn't get enough of him. The Time magazine pronounced him the man of the year. Wow. Two magazines, a gay magazine and the Time magazine pronounces the Pope man of the year. Then Gawker, an American gossip site, took time to salute the man it called our cool new Pope. I mean, it's, the world will accept you. I mean, can you imagine you giving people a blank check? Do anything you want, believe anything you want, you'll go to heaven. How can they not like you? I mean, how can they know? It's like me going to campus and telling all the students, there are no exams at the end of the semester, so you can spend all your time in discotheques. It's okay, nobody is going to examine you. I mean, I would, of course, that would make me popular, but then I would be lying because the exams are going to be there. And then people would wake up one morning and the exams and they didn't read. So that's precisely what's happening here. But no, no, it's okay, you don't have to believe in anything. It's all cool. Just be a good person and we'll meet there. Okay? They will meet somewhere, I'm sure they will. Then in January of this year, the Rolling Stone magazine, which usually has profiles of people like Britney Spears, Johnny Depp, you know, movie stars and people like that, Brad Pitt and what. This time it ran a 10,000 word piece about the Pope, our cool new Pope. Okay, even the graffiti artists have done their bit. One wall next close to St. Peter's Basilica carries a portrait of the 77-year-old Pope as Superman in a castle. So he's everything. I mean, how can he not be when he's telling people they can do anything they want and believe anything they want and they are going to be in heaven? I mean, that's cool. That's a cool Pope. But they will not be in heaven. He's telling them a lie. I mean, that's an absolute lie and people are going to fall for it. Now, that's how the false prophet operates. Okay? Because he comes and basically, you know, the whole thing of, I mean, the religion of Satan has one edict, and that is, do as thou willest. Just do what you want. So, I mean, if you like, just do it. And that's basically what the Pope is what? Teaching. Yeah, do it. Do whatever you want. If you want to be homosexual, go ahead, do it. If you want to be an adulterer, it's cool. It's all cool. Just do it. Be a good adulterer, a good fornicator, a good homosexual, a good what? We'll all meet in heaven. I mean, how nice is that? That is the depth of hell speaking. So the whole world wanted somebody to tell them that. That they can believe any garbage they believe, they can live their life in rebellion to God, and they will still end up in heaven. So finally, they have found somebody who is giving them that. How can they not venerate somebody like that? Okay, that's the fourth piece of evidence. Now the fifth, which is important for us, is the one world agenda, reaching out to Pentecostals. Remember the duty of a Jesuit priest was to infiltrate all religions, all belief systems, all Protestants, when the Catholic says a Protestant, he means a Methodist, a Lutheran, anybody who is not a Catholic, who is not a Roman Catholic, evangelicals, what, you know, Pentecostals, all those are Protestants as far as Catholics are concerned. So their work is to infiltrate all those belief systems and bring them under the control of the Pope, under the control of the papacy. And you'd be shocked at how much progress they are making right now, as we are going to discuss it now. So the move to unite all belief systems under the Catholic Church started a long time ago. There's the Interfaith Alliance, the first step in that direction, which started in 1948, the same year that Israel was born. The Interfaith Alliance was born the same year that Israel was born, the year in which the United Europe, which is the prophesied Fourth Roman Empire, took its first baby step. It's also the year in which Addis Bay, they published her book, The Plan, which outlined 10 steps to get rid of Judeo-Christian values and establish a godless new world order. It's also the year in which Prince Charles of Wales was born. I added that. Maybe someday you will know why. And so the year 1948, when Israel was born, when God started his own journey towards the end, the coming of Jesus, the devil started his own journey towards the coming of the Antichrist. And it starts with the birth of the Interfaith Alliance. Okay? And the Interfaith Alliance has been supported by UN. You know, they call it United Nations of Religions. They even sat in the UN building. And everything that has UN on it is of the devil. UN is devil. You just know that. United Nations equals devil. Just know that it is started with a very sinister agenda. If you don't believe me, one day you will. And because the UN sees religion as an unnecessary cause of division, their theory is, why can't we have one religion to which all of us can subscribe for the sake of peace? I mean, why don't we just believe one thing? Why must everybody have different things? Let's just have one religion. Now, of course, that is sounds good to somebody who does not believe in anything in particular. But we know that Jesus said he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Okay? And so every attempt to unite different faiths or different belief systems is inherently evil. It's of the devil. Take that from me. Amos 3:3 says, two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. I cannot walk with a Muslim in terms of faith. Of course, in business and what, maybe we can. But in terms of faith, I cannot walk with a Muslim because we can't agree. I believe he's going to hell. And he probably believes I'm going to hell. But I know I'm going to heaven, and I know he's going to hell. I know I'm right and he's wrong. So I cannot find middle ground between me and the Muslim. There is no middle ground. There is none. We would be lying ourselves. So I know that any attempt to unite religions, to unite faith systems, is inherently evil and is of the devil and is from the depth of Satan. It's that simple. Okay? It's that simple. So you cannot tell us to find middle ground. There is no middle ground. Now I'll tell you this, that this move started a long time ago. You probably heard of a man called Bishop Tony Palmer. Now this gentleman was a charismatic young preacher who enjoyed friendship with Pope Francis. First of all, he was a Catholic. he was not a Catholic, but he belonged actually to some kind of convergence movement, trying to bring people together. So this guy was born in the UK, but raised in South Africa, where he was an evangelical, and he actually served as a director of South Africa for the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. So he says he met Archbishop Hoge Bergoglio of Buenos Aires in 2008, when Fama sought permission to work with the charismatic Catholics of the city of Buenos Aires. And now, okay, how somebody comes from being head of Kenneth Copeland Ministries in South Africa, then goes to Argentina and asks Archbishop Jorge Bergoglio of Buenos Aires, who of course now is Pope Francis, to work with the Catholic charismatics. So the Pope was apparently excited, allowed him to join in and start working with them. Eventually moved to Italy, eventually started working with the Roman Catholic Church, eventually started having so many meetings with the Pope, and eventually he was sent, he carried a message from Pope Francis to a number of evangelical American believers, including Kenneth Copeland, at his partners' meeting. And I saw this on YouTube. I saw the whole thing, or more than an hour of it, on YouTube. Kenneth Copeland, Bishop Palmer, Tony Palmer, stands up and says things like, here is their theory, here is what they are using. Martin Luther, who was a Protestant founder, differed with the Catholic Church over doctrine, because Martin Luther believed that just shall live by faith, that righteousness is achieved through faith, okay? And the Catholic Church believed righteousness is achieved through works. So that was the cause of the protest, according to them. So now in 1999, the Lutheran Church, who was supposed to be the church of Martin Luther, and the Catholic Church signed a document in which they agreed, they somehow reached common ground that salvation is by faith, by grace through faith, and not by good works. But then it leads to good works. So everybody kind of agreed with that, and they signed the document. So the Catholic Church says no. So now there is no more protest, since we've agreed with the Lutherans on doctrine. The doctrine was over. Justification by faith and justification by works. So there is no more protest. Now this man, Bishop Palmer, is addressing Kenneth Copeland Ministries partners. So he says, so the protest is over. So generally, we are all Catholics now, because we were all Catholics for 1,000 years. The only faith was Catholics until Martin Luther protested. Now the issue of his protest has been solved, since they have signed a document with the Lutherans, so there are no more Protestants. So eventually the Methodists also signed and what. So this man made a move to come and reach out to evangelicals. Now the evangelical faith is the fastest growing faith in the world, the born again evangelical Pentecostal, with 50,000 converts every single day. It's the fastest growing. So these guys reach out to them, they come to Kenneth Copeland. The man stands up, this Bishop Palmer, talks about all these things, says he has a message from the Pope. They play a message from the Pope in which he's talking, my brother, Joseph, Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to look for food, but they found a brother, even me, I found a brother. Generally, talking things that mean nothing. I looked at it, and I'm like, oh my God. But somehow these powerful men of God fell for this. Then they invited them for a meeting at what? At the Vatican. So Kenneth Copeland went there. His wife did not go, crucially. James Robison, the guy who does life today on both TBN and Desta, was also there. And other people have joined the movement, including Joel Osteen. And by the way, so many top American preachers have joined this movement of now we are all Catholics, because the protest is over. So they go to the Pope. And, I'm listening to Kenneth Copeland myself on YouTube. So he goes there, he says they arranged a meeting. The Pope was busy in the morning, but they had been scheduled for after lunch. Okay, so they sit there, they wait for the Pope. Apparently, the Pope meets everybody for only 15 minutes. The most audience you get with the Pope is 15 minutes. And the Queen of England was given 30 minutes. This is Kenneth Copeland saying this. The Queen of England was given 30 minutes audience before the Pope. But for them, they were given 3 hours. Okay? Now, Kenneth Copeland is saying, okay, basically saying, how, you know, yeah, they we are so special because if the Queen was given 30 minutes and for us we are given what? 3 hours. Eh? They talked, they chatted, then they prayed, then over the place was spirit-filled. And I'm thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then, you know, the place over the Pope is spirit-filled. Eh? The Pope is spirit-filled. And, okay, this thing just beats me, by the way. Pope spirit-filled. Anyway, I don't know about that, but... I don't know about Pope Spiritfield. I really, really don't know about Pope Spiritfield. A man who says how... I mean, I'm going to tell you some of the things he said. Of course, he's not Spiritfield. I know that for sure. I mean, no matter what, whatever those people say, there is no way he's Spiritfield. Because the man is a devil incarnate. And take it from me, he is the devil incarnate. I mean, he is evil through and through. Anyhow, so... they come out so excited, they're taking pictures, then he's even showing his partner's pictures. Go and check that thing on YouTube if you want. He's taking partners, pictures of his what? Of his, showing pictures to his partners of how he met the Pope and how they talked. They were laughing and things like that. So some father called Dwight Longnecker said that the meeting which was on June 24th, that was remarkable since not too long ago. Conservative evangelicals in North America were inclined to view the Catholic Church as the great whore of Babylon and the Pope as the Antichrist. Now, I'll tell you this, I still view the Catholic Church at the top as the great whore of Babylon and the Pope as the false prophet, not the Antichrist. But this man says the evangelical leaders were not only impressed by the simplicity and the warmth of Pope Francis's welcome, but they clearly had fellowship in Christ that has been lacking in the past. Remember, looks like a lamb, but talks like a what? Like a beast. He looks like a lamb. So this humility and what? Huh? Anyhow. So, now the interesting thing is that this man who connected them, Bishop Palmer, absolutely amazingly, died 1 month later in a very mysterious way. This is a bishop of whatever, who was apparently first name terms with the Pope and everything, and he's an Anglican who had joined them. But you know, after that, Bishop Tony Palmer, after that great meeting, after carrying the message of the Pope and everything, the guy comes and does what? The guy goes and is in England, somewhere on a rural road in England, riding a motorbike, and is knocked down by a grey Audi. That's all we were told. I mean, we don't know which grey Audi, whether the driver was drunk, or whether, maybe the Bishop Palmer was drunk or anything. The man was just knocked down and died in hospital, and he has basically been forgotten, just like that. Now, I am convinced that this Bishop Palmer was sent out so many years ago. I'm convinced he's a Jesuit. He was a Jesuit because he's dead now. He was sent out long time ago to go and achieve that purpose of bringing, even all the going to South Africa and working for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. He's trying to infiltrate. Remember the oath I told you, the Jesuit stake. You have to infiltrate every faith and bring them under the control of the papacy. That is their what? That is their duty. Everything. So he goes, works for Kenneth Copeland Ministries, then from there goes to Argentina where he meets with the Pope apparently for the first time, but I don't believe that. And he's working with the charismatics there. Then just before the Pope is elected, then he moves to Italy. And then what? And he says his wife, first of all, was an evangelical. Then she realizes she can be a Catholic and be an evangelical. Then it's all total confusion. Then the things he's talking at what? The Kenneth Copeland Ministry. Total confusion. Total confusion. And then powerful men like Kenneth Copeland fell for it. Now they are all pushing for unity, the unity of faith. We are all under one word. This man calls it Christianity, okay? And then quotes Jesus saying that it's only when they are unified that will be what? That they will be, you know, that the world will believe that what? That they are my... oh my God. And it's deception of the highest order. And don't forget, we told you that deception increases as we get to the end. Just pray God. That's why Jesus said that, watch and pray, that you may escape all the things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man when he comes in his glory. Watch and pray, watch and pray. Don't just pray, watch, look around you, because things are happening which you're not seeing. Okay? Yet if you actually open the newspapers, the world papers and what, if you paid attention to what's happening, you'd see so many things which are clear indicators that we are living in the last of the last days. Jesus Christ is around the corner. But because you're so taken up by other things, you're not watching and you're not praying, and then, you know, you're exposing yourself to so many, I mean, powerful people like this. You know, there are people, first of all, there are people in, I've met, encountered all sorts of people. You find somebody who says, I've been 30 years in the ministry. And then what he's saying that by that is, there is nothing you can tell me that is new. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's only in faith, it's only in Christianity where people think like that. Because Museveni has been in politics since, I think, 1965, if you had to follow him. How many years are those? I think it was probably 19 or 18 when he got into it. Now he's coming to 70. But there is not a single day when he thinks he has learned everything. If there is anything new, he will be the first person to learn it. Because anybody who stays on the cutting edge, that's why he's, I mean, 28 years in power, but he's still trying to learn. And people who meet him will tell you how he listens. He does not talk too much. He listens. Now, if somebody who has been there is still learning about politics after almost 50 years in politics, what makes you think that because you've been in the ministry for 30 years, you know everything? You don't. You can't. Even when you've been in eternity for a million years, you will still not know everything about God, because he is inexhaustible. You cannot exhaust him. But you see, now when people move in these things, in these movements, I was seeing one here the other day in which one top pastor, who I remember in the 1990s used to assert, when I'd just gotten saved, that we are not a religion of Rokolesi Dini. Now the other day he turned around and said, now you have to acknowledge Barokore as a religion. And I'm thinking, oh, what a turnaround. I thought we were not a religion. Suddenly now we are a religion. And now suddenly, when there is this ecumenical council, I'm seeing him with the invite, walking up the stairs with the president, with the sheikh, and over with the Orthodox metropolitan. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I mean, where is this heading? Why do people want, all this authority on earth? Eh? Why do you think they do that? They do that because they want to be acknowledged as having authority on the earth. That's the whole point behind it. Now, the earth, the world will love its own, Jesus said. He told his disciples that the world will hate you. When I go, the world will jubilate, but for you will be mourning. The world will not like you, because the world likes its own. And you know it, the world likes its own. Why do you think the whole world is celebrating Pope Francis? Because he's saying the things they want to hear, which are as evil as they want to hear. That's why they are celebrating him. He's such a celebrity. Now he's all over CNN. You know, now all the newspapers which I used to read, which denounce religion, you know, the Catholic faith and what, now suddenly they have turned around. Now they have all the good things to say about it. Anyhow, you know where we are heading. But this gentleman, after arranging that meeting, they presented a joint creed. Something which, I mean, this Bishop Palmer, the Pentecostal ministers and Bishop Palmer presented a joint creed to the Pope, which they wanted to sign, accepting, which basically, you know, is their common stand after this meeting. And according to that Bishop Palmer, who is now deceased, they called it the Nicene Constantinople Creed, which Catholics and evangelicals share. The core of it is, some of these things are absolutely shocking. I just enjoy looking at some of these things, because the core of the Catholic Lutheran Declaration of 1999, which I've told you about, making clear that there is no disagreement over justification by faith, as well as a final section asserting that Catholics and evangelicals are now united in a mission because we are declaring the same gospel. Excuse me? me declaring the same gospel as Catholics? I am not. It is never going to happen. The gospel of, you know, just do good and we'll meet in heaven. But this is the creed these people are signing. We are declaring the same gospel. Okay? Then the closing section speaks of the importance of freedom of conscience, and then speaks about the need for Catholics and evangelicals to respect each other's mission fields and treat the other with respect, not as rivals. Now, I want you to understand this. First of all, they say that they are united in mission because they are declaring the same gospel. False, 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 false. Secondly, the creed which they are signing says that they should respect each other's mission fields. Do you know what they are trying to achieve there? They are saying that evangelicals should not preach to Catholics to get saved. Excuse me? So who is that? Whose interests is that serving? The devil, obviously. Whose interest is that serving? That evangelicals should not preach to Catholics, okay, to get saved. But then Catholics should also not preach to evangelicals. But Catholics don't preach to evangelicals because there is nobody who has seen the light who is going to go back to darkness. Okay? But it is evangelicals who preach to Catholics and they get converted. And I told you, 50,000 a day, the fastest growing faith. All the other faith grow through violence and through producing. Okay? Through producing. The Islamic faith grows through producing children. But the evangelicals grows through conversion. People who are born of different faith become whatever. So, respect our mission field. Please help us and don't preach to Catholics. Then they agree on a creed. And you know what? The Pope even refused to sign it. These people are the ones who brought the Bishop Palmer and the Copelands and who? And James Robison are the ones who brought the creed for him to sign. And he refused. For him, he wants them to declare that they are all under the Catholic Church. That's when he will sign it. And they have given up a lot of ground. And you call that unity? That is not unity. That is confusion. That is deception. I mean, how can you say that Catholics and evangelicals declare the same gospel? They don't. Or that respect each other's mission fields, don't preach to Catholics. How is that going to happen? I mean, and we actually are going down this road and our eyes closed and people don't seem to understand what's happening and, you know, all these things. By the way, I gave Kenneth Copeland as an example of prosperity, and he is a very good example for prosperity. But what has happened to him recent, he's messed himself up. Not financially. Financially, he's still outstanding as a very good example. Somebody told me she Googled him, found out why he's in debt $2 million. That is not true. I mean, people are so easy to deceive. There are so many things about so many people on the internet. You Google Jesus Christ and they will tell you what he did. I mean, how do you just Google and then you get one thing and then you take that? I mean, you Google Jesus Christ, they will tell you he was an imposter, he was not the son of God. So are you going to believe that because you saw it on Google? I mean, when we come and say things here, we say things after deep research, very deep research. Or somebody asked me a question, what do you say about these people going to the Vatican? And I couldn't answer it because I was still studying it carefully. Now, and I got to know about this a while ago, and I was completely beaten, by the way. When somebody whom you've held in high esteem, whose books you've read, whose messages you've heard, and you know whose example of faith you followed and everything, goes and does something like this, of course you're beaten. So I needed time to first recover from the shock, and before I talk about it. But like I told you, the meeting between the Pope and the evangelicals took place June this year, and this guy died in July in a mysterious motorbike accident on a lonely road in rural England. And the only news given about the nature of his death is that he was hit by a grey Audi. I'm sure this was all a setup. This Jesuit guy, after he had achieved his purpose, I think he was sorted out. I wouldn't be shocked if he was. I wouldn't be shocked because, I mean, everything about his death is what? Suspicious. First of all, it's timing, then the nature and everything. Anyhow, and it follows after the same pattern that these secret organizations deal with. You know, you've already read those novels or read the books, secret organizations, KGB and what, you know. As soon as you accomplish your purpose, you basically have no usefulness. But anyway, I'll go to the sixth part of my evidence. Symbolism. Is Pope Francis the false prophet? Symbolism. We know that the Bible attaches meanings to numbers. Okay, we know that 3 is a completion, 5 is the number for grace, 6 is the number for humanity, 7 is the number for divinity or godly perfection. We know that 11 and 40 are numbers for temptation or trial. We know that 12 and 24 are numbers of divine government. That's all biblical, and we can follow that. I've told you that before, the symbols, and there are so many other numbers. Now, it's important to note that secret societies also are very strong and very pronounced in their use of numerology to send signals to their people. The numbers that they usually use are 9, 11, 13, 25, and 33. These are the most common numbers that they use. 9, of course, is in the Bible, has its whatever, has its negative implications. You know the law of first mention. Okay, there's what they call a law of first mention. Now, the first time the Bible mentions 11, it talks about rebellion. It's actually in Genesis 14:4, I think, when it talks about how they served God. Genesis 14:4. 12 years they served, 13 rather is the number of rebellion. 12 years they served Kadaloma, and the 13th year they rebelled. So the first mention, the law of the first mention, which theologians use a lot, is that the first time the Bible mentions something, a number, a place, or what, it is usually all consequent times are associated with that first mention. So 11 number of trial, 9, but the numbers the Satanists or secret societies usually use are 9, 11, 13, 25, and 33. Okay, now I'll give you examples just to prove that to you. Do you know how many things have happened on September 11th throughout history? You'd be shocked. And why they happen on that day? Okay, why September 11th? For instance, I'll give you an example. In 1893, September 11th, the first conference of World Parliament of Religions is held. That has always been a thing of the devil. Unite all religions, because that way you make them weak. 1965, the Beatles, probably the most satanic music organization, group, the Beatles, produced an album that hit number one. 1965, September 11th, the album came out, hit number one, and it stayed there for 9 weeks. You know, the 9-11 always appears somewhere. Now, in 1967, still September 11th, the Beatles' Magical Mystery Bus driven around England. You know, they did so many things promoting Satanism in England, the Beatles. And you know all those things. You know, remember the famous statement by John Lennon that he's more famous than Jesus Christ, after which he died almost immediately. So September 11th, 1972, the world was introduced to terrorism at the 1972 Munich Olympic Games, where 11 Israel athletes were killed. Exactly 29 years after this attack, September 11th, well, you know what happened, but now not just 1972. 1973, September 11th, still, Chilean President Salvador Allende was killed in a brutal, violent military coup led by General Augusto Pinochet. Now, one of the biggest Freemasons and the biggest Satanists in America, a man called Henry Kissinger, who was the Secretary of State, was very strongly implicated in this attack. And if you were to stand trial in an international court, it is likely that he would have been charged with masterminding this coup and ordering the assassination of Allende. But you see, the reason they do these things on these days is they are sending a message out to their people. When something happens on a certain day, then all the Freemasons and Illuminati know that this is our work. That's how they do their things. Then, you know, September 11th, 1990, President Bush delivered his speech to the Congress titled "Moving Towards the New World Order." They select these dates very carefully. Then, you know, September 11th, 2001, what happened? The World Trade Center came collapsed, and then and Illuminati and Masonic rapper Jay-Z proclaimed in a song that the New World Order started on 9/11. Why did he say that? But you see, these people use these numbers very much to send messages. I'll give you another example. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated by the Illuminati and the Freemasons on November 22nd, 1963. Now, the date is very specific. Actually, it was a Masonic death. The date is very specific. It has to be chosen. He was killed according to the occult number signature of 11. Okay, he was killed in the 11th month, on the 22nd day, and on the 33rd parallel. You see, they are sending a message. So when you hear somebody was killed on this day, all the Freemasons in the world know that was their job. Okay, and he was also actually killed in the Masonic Dealer Plaza, which is the most powerful secret society in the world today, to whom the number 11, as I've told you, is extremely important. Now, that is always a signal to them. Now, I'm building up something here. Okay? So, the law of first appearance, 13, is the number of rebellion. Genesis 14:4. They served Chedorlaomer 12 years. The 13th year, they rebelled. Now, the law of first mention, 13 is it. And actually, 13 has always been associated with bad omen, even in Christian Europe and America. Many buildings, many tall buildings in Europe and America don't have the 13th floor, because throughout the centuries they associated 13 with bad luck. So they have 12th floor, 14th floor, somehow they keep on skipping 13th. And then you all know the myth of Friday the 13th, which you know, it's all associated with occultism and everything. Then you know how the Illuminati seem to prefer the number 25. Okay, I told you the numbers like a 9, 11, 13, 25 and 33. The Illuminati seem to like 25. That's why all musicians who try to fall out of it, who fall out with them, die with a 25 somewhere associated. Aaliyah died August 25. Left Eye, April 25. James Brown, December 25. Michael Jackson, June 25th. Static Major, February 25th. Tupac died at the age of 25. Oh, you know, everybody who is, they are sending a message. Now, the reason they do it on these days is, when an Illuminati around the world hears that somebody died on 25th, they know it was done by the Illuminati, and they know you're trying to rebel. Okay? And all these secret organizations have their thing. And it's all over Hollywood, it's all over music, it's all over what? I mean, is it a coincidence that Robin Williams, this comedian who died recently, who hanged himself, you know, in a movie called The Angriest Man in Brooklyn, actually said that my tombstone will read 1951 to 2012. Mine at 2014, and it's a script in a movie. My tombstone will read 1951 to 2014, and that's precisely what his tombstone read, because he died, I think, a few weeks ago, in 2014, and that's precisely what is going to be on his tombstone. Or is it coincidence that Tupac, in the song "Niggas Done Changed," sang that "I've been shot, murdered. Can you tell how it happened? That can tell you how it happened word for word. But best believe niggas don't get what they deserve." Well, that's precisely what happened not long after, because he was shot, and the exact manner he described his death is the exact manner in which it happened. And it all happens in sequence of numbers, or some kind of prediction, or what, because they know, they predict the age at which they are going to die, because they make secret, in those secret organizations, they give up so much for their fame, and then they're even told when they are going to die. And they, almost all of them die young, so young or tragic or something. Then, I mean, there are so many examples. Jeff Buckley, who sang a song called Dream Brother, predicted the exact nature of his death. The lyrics go like, "The dark angel is shuffling in. Don't be like the one who left behind his name, asleep in the sand with the ocean washing over." Listen to that. "Asleep in the sand with the ocean washing over." Not long after that, he drowned. And that's precisely what happened. And he has been saying it. And everyone is like, I mean, yeah. But the guy has been saying it. So anyhow, what does that lead me to? Numbers. So what has all this got to do with Pope Francis? Well, I'll tell you what. Number one, white smoke after his election went up at exactly 7:06 p.m. Okay? 7:06 p.m. which is a total 7 plus 6 of 13. He was announced that when you're 76 years old, 7 plus 6, 13. He was elected on the calendar date of March, which is 3, 13, 13. March the 13th, 2013. So the date actually reads 3, 13, 13, which sports two 13s of its own. 3, 13, 13, 2013. Now, if you actually add 3, 13 and 2013, it comes to 13. You understand? 3 plus 1 plus 3, you understand, plus 2, plus, it actually comes to 13. Why are all these 13s? Why, I mean, why the time, exact timing at this? and it was announced at precisely 8:13 Vatican time, or 2013 if you had used other time, making one astounding 3/13/2013. I want you to understand this. So he's announced as Pope at exactly 8:13. Okay, so when they tell you what the date and time is that the Pope was announced, it is 3, which is March the 13th, okay, 2013, at exactly the time 2013, which is 8:13. Do you think all that is idle? It is not. These people send messages using numerology. And now there is a message sent out to everybody who sees that and listens to that. The smoke, white smoke, comes out at exactly 7:06, which is 13. Okay? Then the guy comes out. You know, there is a lull between when the white smoke comes out and when the guy is presented. Okay? Then the guy is presented at exactly 2013, in the year 2013, on the 13th day of the third month. Is that coincidence? I don't think so. I totally don't think so. So I'll give you the final evidence in this series. So is he Petrus Romanus? I told you about St. Malachi's prophecy, which says a man called Petrus Romanus, or Peter the Roman, will come and will be the devil incarnate. And in the time of his papacy, the city of Rome will be destroyed. By the way, the Bible speaks about the destruction of the city of Rome in Revelation 18. It says here that this, according to this man's Saint Malachi's prophecy, the city of Rome will be destroyed, and the great judge, will judge his people. Talking about God. So, is this man Petrus Romanus? But the man is called Francis. His papal name, and his actual name is Jorge Mario Bergoglio. And he was an Argentine. So how does a man with called Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who is an Argentine, turned out to be Peter the Roman? Does that make any sense? Well, initially it didn't. But here is how. When the Pope chose the name of Francis the First, you know what happens. When you elected Pope, they ask you, what name are you going by? So he says he's going to be Pope Francis the First. He said himself it is after Saint Francis of Assisi, a man who lived in the 13th century and who is one of the most venerated religious figures, Saint Francis of Assisi. But Saint Francis of Assisi was also his kind of religious name, so to speak. He was born in Rome, but his real birth name was Saint Francis's real birth name is Giovanni di Petro di Bernardone. In other words, he was Peter Bernardone. That's Saint Francis of Assisi, born in Rome. So we are talking about Pope naming himself after a man whose birth name was Peter and who was born in Rome. So I think that is clear evidence that's enough. If you remember the other links to the popes, they were a bit subtle. He did not come out with names, that Malachi prophecy. There were links to it, okay? There were links to it. For instance, Benedict was called the glory of the olive, and he came from an order who used the olive as their symbol. So things like that. Now here, this man names himself Francis after Saint Francis of Assisi, and then I discover that Saint Francis of Assisi was actually Peter the Roman. So does that mean that he's the final Pope? Well, I've given you the evidence. Go and be your own judge. But the one thing I know, that he does qualify to be somebody who talks like. And the other day he was actually saying how it is very dangerous for somebody to have a personal relationship with Christ without going through the church. You cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ without going through the church. Now, that's what the Pope is saying. Now, you understand why I'm so angry that evangelicals like the Copelands are going with him and claiming that they are preaching the same gospel. Because we are telling people, come and receive a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus died for us to have. That's what we preach to people. How many people want to receive Jesus as their personal savior? Okay, and now here is the Pope with whom these people are frolicking, saying that it is very dangerous to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ outside of the church. In other words, let the church decide for you how you relate with Jesus. That's precisely what he's saying. And saying that's very dangerous, that he actually called it Christianity which is manufactured in the lab. Okay, so let the church decide for you. And that's what that's what the Jesuits have always fought for. That's what he is fighting for, bringing all faith under the umbrella of the Pope, and then the only remaining, because the Lutherans joined, the Southern Baptists joined, almost everybody joined, whatever. The only people who were Methodists had joined, and the only people who were left were the evangelical Christians, and now so many of them are going, Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, oh my God, so many of them. And it is so depressing when you hear what the man says. He speaks things which are as satanic as Satan himself, which does not surprise you because, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, which happened when the man was going to be elected. But don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let it go through the church. Okay? Don't do it. Now, the other day, TBN. Oh, man. Now, this is even worse. TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, started out as a Christian network. It's one which taught us about people like Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts, and all those people. Now, the other day, they ran a story about this Fatima when over the Virgin Mary apparently appeared to what? To some three girls and what? A fake story. There was no Virgin Mary. It was a demon. Okay? Then, after that, the other day on Praise the Lord, they invited a Jesuit priest with a long beard like this. And then the man is talking about church unity, what it's unify. And they're saying unify under the Catholic Church. And then, now, so TBN now, I can no longer even advise somebody. You don't know what you're going to find there. They are now running Catholic stuff on TBN. I don't know what's wrong with Bob. Anyway. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's do this. Because now, eventually, Jesus said when he comes, there's going to be a division between those who have the mark of the beast and those who have his mark. Those who are going to heaven and those who are going to hell. There's not going to be anything else. If you want to end up on the side of Jesus, if you want to come out of Babylon, maybe you're a Roman Catholic and maybe some of this has even been angering you. But the truth is that you might be a genuine believer in God, but the people at the top are not. And I've quoted for you from the books they wrote. The guy saying that he doesn't believe in creation. A Pope, Benedict. So, if you want to believe in Jesus Christ, and if you want to be on the winning side when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to redeem his people, you just repeat these words after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I receive you this day as my Lord and my Savior, and I ask that you give me your Spirit to come and indwell me and guide me and teach me in all your ways. And I believe that you died for me. I believe you paid all the penalty for my sins. And I thank you because now I am born again. Amen. Write me an email if you have anything to say, if you have anything to ask. The email is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.